Good evening. The time is 8 p.m. Node KX40 connected to W4VA battery. Kilo Osc.
QST. This is the Fakir Amateur Radio Association Technical Services Net. This is N7IVV. My name is Brad, and I'll be your host tonight. This net is held every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater, which is located in Warrenton, Virginia. The repeater uses a PL tone of 167.9 hertz if you're trying to get in. If you have any questions or would like more information about the Fakir Amateur Radio Association, please visit our website at w4va.org. That's whiskey4victoralpha.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general technical discussions and Q&A regarding topics such as radio hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to amateur radio activities. Tonight, barring any other requests for technical discussions, we'll be talking about batteries, specifically storage batteries. We'll get into that in just a moment. Does anybody have any requests otherwise for a discussion tonight? This is N7IVV. Go ahead. Okay, as far as announcements go, coming up this next week, I guess it depends on when you start your week, on the 14th, is our club meeting, our monthly club meeting. It will be both live and WebEx. The highlight of the meeting will be Q&A, hands-on, show-and-tell, experimentation, training, instructions, whatever. Getting ready for the Fox Hunt, which we will be, I'm going to say hosting, because we're inviting pretty much anybody who wants to tag along, on Saturday the 16th, beginning at 10 a.m. As a matter of fact, what that means is that's when, unless I'm mistaken, that's when the fox will actually be turned loose, if you will. It will be the starting point will be the Fakir County Airport in the parking lot there at the airport. Recommend you be there a little bit early to get your equipment set up, fine-tuned. We'll also have some new folks who will need assistance. We have some people who will actually be borrowing equipment, so they'll kind of need to be shown how to use that, how to set it up. So plan to be there probably around 9:30-ish to be ready to roll at 10 o'clock. This will be a relatively easy hunt, apparently. KN4GDX and the rest of the fox hunting crew apparently is setting up for we've got three fox hunts planned this year, and they will be in increasing difficulty, starting with this one that's supposed to be very easy. And I have no idea what the other two will bring, but it should be a lot of fun this year. Also, another thing, the club meeting this coming Wednesday, we will be doing the drawing for the donated equipment that we have. If anybody would still like to get on the drawing, that's not going to be there. You do have to be online. You have to be present one way or another to win because of the way we're going to run the drawing. Just send me an email at president@w4va.org, and I will see that you get a ticket issue that we will be drawing on Thursday night. If you're there and want to get in, all you got to do, we'll have tickets there. You can fill that out. But we do have a number of people already interested in that, so check out the emails that have been sent out. If you have any questions, you can contact me also as well. Oh, does anybody else have any announcements that I may have overlooked tonight? This is N7.
Frost Advisory.
Yeah, it's Thoreau.
Trying to figure out what that advisory was and why it's not being turned off while we do the net. But anyway, KX40 and 7IBB, go ahead.
Just another call for Virginia QSO Party Logs. We're doing very well, 34 and counting, and this will be kind of like the big final week for us, so expect some more emails from me. Not many left, but every QSO matters. Thanks, KX Pro. Back to
Thank you, John. Yeah, every QSO matters. One or two even makes a big difference sometimes. And besides that, it gives you practice for submitting logs and, you know, having participated at some level. The rest of the story is to simply send a log over to John. For those of you that have done this a few times before and are consistently late, shame on you. The deadline, you did get an extension this year. The 18th is the, no, wait, that's for filing taxes. Well, let's just say it's going to be the same for filing our logs from PAQP as well, please. Let's go ahead and take check-ins now, and then we'll start the discussion after that. So anyway, any check-ins? John, I've got you checked in already, and we'll go ahead with check-ins now. Go ahead.
This is K1HTV.
KX4KU.
KO4 IUM Mobile.
KO4ZKY.
D4SV.
KO.
KO4. We.
Kilo Mike 4 Oscar Zulu Hotel.
KN4SPL.
Whiskey Delta 8 Quebec Charlie November.
KO4 Victor November Zulu in and out.
Kilo 4 Alpha Kilo Oscar Mobile in and out.
AK4GG in and out.
November 4 Sierra Juliet Lima in and out.
Okay, that's a pretty good list. K1HTV, Rich, KX4KU, Kevin, KO4IUM, I believe you said you were mobile. Just want to change something here real quick, set status mobile. KO4Z Zulu Kilo Yankee, Oscar, welcome. I guess this is your first net. So for anybody who doesn't know, he's our newest ham in the club and the youngest now. We'll let him fill in any blanks later. KD4SV. Dave, good to hear you. KO4YCO. Tyler, nice to hear you tonight. KO4WYX. Matt, thanks for checking in. KM4OZH. Gil. KM4SPL. Bob. WD8QCN. The following four calls are in and out. Thanks for stopping in. KO4VNZ. Victor November Charlie. Zulu, sorry. K4AKO. AK4GG. And N4 Sierra Juliet Lima. John. Thanks, everybody, for checking in. Okay, we'll go up to the top of the list, and that would be John, KX4. No, we're going to do the discussion. I'm sorry. Discussion is, let me give you the background. Not that anybody really cares, but had all kinds of fun with my car the last couple of weeks. After VAQP and goofing around, I went off and left it parked, as I am wont to do. Is that WONT? Anyway, I don't have to drive much because I work from home all the time, so it sort of sits out there all week long. Well, I went out there after, I don't know, a week, and my battery was dead. And I went, what? So luckily, you know, we were on our way someplace, we took the wife's car. Well, I came back and I looked, and I had left my watt meter, my power / watt meter turned on. Of course, there was nothing else running. I thought, well, that's odd. So I thought, that thing must have drawn enough current. So I threw on the battery charger, charged it up. Everything was happy. Drove it. 4 days later after sitting, it was dead again. I thought, okay. So now I unplugged everything, even knowing that my radio equipment powers itself off automatically after an hour of not being used. So I'm lazy about just getting out of the car and leaving it on, but I said, okay, fine, I'll play a game. I unplugged everything. Didn't help. So, obviously, I had a battery that was, as the Squire of Gothos said, for those of you that are old enough, the battery was dead. And couldn't even get the silly thing charged. Went down, talked to the guy at the auto parts store, and then, you know, of course, the conversation, well, do you want the regular battery or do you want an AGM? And back and forth, and of course, we've sort of talked about AGMs a little bit here. Usually it's the LIFEPO, LIFEPO, if you want lithium iron phosphate, phosphorus batteries. But the AGM is a little bit different. Well, again, part of the discussion was, Well, the regular battery comes with a 4-year warranty, and the AGM comes with a 3-year warranty, you know, and the extended warranty on the larger wet cell standard lead acid. That was because it was a little higher duty. And he said, frankly, I get more AGMs back on warranty than I do the wet cells, the regular lead acids. So I said, well, I'll take the regular one. So that's what I ended up with. But then, of course, now the question is, well, what should have I done, AGM or regular lead acid? And this is N7IVV being long-winded here. But that's what tonight's for. So the question is, which one should have I gotten? With the consideration that I do run my radios, I don't always run them with the engine on. I do get some RFI, some noise from the engine, the ignition noise, which I don't operate mobile enough to worry about at this point, but that's probably another good discussion, is how to get rid of that kind of racket that you get. When you have electronic ignition, it's kind of funny. I actually was looking for, the kind of spark plug wires, suppressing wires, you know, and it was like I couldn't find any, finally realized, oh, duh, these cars don't use spark plug wires anymore and haven't for a long, long time. But anyway, point is, what's better in a car where I'm going to be using it to run radios periodically for a while and still, and don't want to have an auxiliary battery in there to do it with. Now, of course, if I was going to do some kind of long-term ops in the car, I've got another battery I would throw in there and use. So, some of you know where this may be going, but that doesn't mean it's the end of the word. The lead-acid batteries are made and have the characteristic of having a whole lot of power that they can put out for very short periods of time, which is what's necessary to crank a starter and get your engine running. And then they're pretty good at storing energy. The AGMs also can provide plenty of power to start your car, but they're a little bit better, and I guess I should probably pull up the website that I was looking at and read it. Let's see. Well, let me just quickly read here. The AGM battery and the standard lead-acid battery are technically the same when it comes to their base chemistry. They both use lead plates and an electrolyte mix of sulfuric acid and water and have a chemical reaction that produces hydrogen and oxygen as a byproduct. However, this is when they start to diverge. Here's how. A flooded lead-acid battery uses lead plates submerged in liquid electrolyte. The gases produced during its chemical reaction are vented in the atmosphere, causing some water loss. Because of this, the electrolyte levels need regular replenishment. An AGM battery uses fiberglass mats sandwiched between lead plates. It's where the battery gets its name, Kevin. Absorbent glass mat, AGM. The glass mat wicks the electrolyte solution, keeping it suspended in place so it's not free-flowing. Because the AGM is a sealed battery, there's minimum to no off-gassing. Gases produced during the chemical reaction are recombined with the electrolyte, and if there's excess gas, such as when the battery is overcharged, a vent does release it to maintain internal pressure. Okay. So there's your basic construction and functional difference on the AGM versus the flooded lead acid, as they call them, an FLA. Essentially, the AGM battery is a maintenance-free battery, can be placed in more enclosed areas, and can even be placed in non-horizontal positions up to a point. You don't want to put them in upside down, but, you know, if for some reason you have to put it at an angle, apparently that's okay. Still, can't think of any good reason why you'd want to do that. Okay, down farther on this magic list of 12 things, the AGM battery's internal resistance is among the lowest of the various lead-acid batteries. Notice we're not talking about lithium or any of those types of batteries or gel cells. We're talking about, basically what we're doing, is talking about if you want to replace the battery in your car and you use your battery periodically for your radios when it's not running, what might be the better choice? By the way, you can blame Sippy and Mike for making me do the net tonight, and that's why it's rambling on. The AGM battery's internal resistance is among the lowest of the various lead-acid batteries. While a new flooded lead-acid battery can have an internal resistance of 10 to 15%, a new AGM battery can be as low as 2%. Low internal resistance translates to increased battery voltage output. It also means a reduced loss of heat as power circulates in the system. AGM batteries also respond to loading better than flooded lead-acid or gel batteries. They handle large power demands so well that they're the go-to lead-acid variety for start-stop vehicles, such as, I'm assuming, golf carts. Charging time, low internal resistance also grants the AGM battery faster charging times. Not as fast as a lithium battery, but up to 5 times more than a flooded lead-acid battery when using the same power source. Depth of discharge. AGM batteries have an 80% depth of discharge, or DOD, which is better than the 50% DOD offered by a flooded cell battery. This makes the AGM battery well-suited to deep cycle applications. However, it's still recommended that you don't discharge either battery below 50% of its capacity, unlike the lithium battery, which can be fully discharged. Oh, temperature tolerance, sensitivity, lifespan, and self-discharge, corrosion and sulfation, cost-effectiveness, really kind of boils down to the same thing. The flooded battery is cost-effective and reliable as a starter battery for standard cars, starter as in to start the car. AGM batteries can be up to 2 to 3 times more expensive than a conventional battery. However, the AGM will tend to last 2 to 3 times more than the flooded lead acid, therefore your cost is about the same thing. Now, I had read someplace, and apparently it was not in this particular list, so I apologize, but that is that the AGM will put out higher voltage for longer periods than the lead acid. Like I said, the lead acid is really kind of designed to put out a whole pile of power, voltage, and whatnot for a short time in order to keep cranking your starter, whereas the AGM will last somewhat longer while still being able to start your car. So now, in retrospect, I'm almost sorry that I didn't buy the AGM, but that's okay, because I can always put a secondary battery in the trunk with the rest of my batteries. Now, that starts everybody off with plenty of things to think about and discuss as we now go down through our check-in list. And I'm sure that this will generate a whole bunch of other people coming out of the woodwork to check in. At least I'd like to think so. KX40, John, what do you have to say about this tonight? Go ahead.
It's, well, with proper management, I think gold traditional lead acid can be done, but AGM, back to next.
Okay, John, please remember that the repeater does have a timeout period. It's 3 minutes, so be sure that you don't transmit for longer than that when you get on to talk. Thank you. K1HTV, Rich, go ahead.
Good, Brad. Like that. Probably one of the shortest transmissions I've heard from John in a long time. N7IVV in the net. This is K1HTV in Amosville. Good evening, all. Interesting. Thank you very much for the talk about batteries. I learned some more. I've been on the planet for almost 80 years. I'm still learning, and I encourage you all to continue learning. It's very interesting. I'll have to do a little bit more reading on it and even consider an AGM battery. One thing I have in the past number of years installed, plugged it into the cigarette lighter. I don't use it for cigarettes. One of these LED readouts of voltage. And it has got a number of times where a cell started to fail and got to the point where it was a good volt and a half or lower than what it should have been, and brought it in to the battery place and said, yeah, you got a bad cell. So I saved myself some grief and the car not being able to start. So it's not relatively inexpensive. You just plug in the cigarette lighters if you have one, and or the cigar lighters. And you can read the voltage in your system. Normally, you can tell what it is when it's charging. Mine charges at about 14.1. When I turn it off, it goes down to like 12.5 or so. And after I've started it, sometimes in the alternator was just replaced recently, was starting to fail, and it was hanging around the 11.5 volts after I started it. And then as the alternator kicked in, it went up to about the 14.1 and started charging again. So you might want to get yourself a voltmeter to see what your system looks like. If you don't have any problems, you'll be able to catch them well ahead of time. Let's see, as far as the upcoming events, I am not going to be able to make the Thursday meeting. I mentioned last week I would be able to, but I just realized that after that I had usher duties at St. John the Evangelist Church for Holy Thursday services, which begin at 7:30. So by the time I get out of there, it'll be probably 9 o'clock if I can get over to the meeting, and the meeting usually winds down at 9, so I'll not be able to make that meeting. I'd like to. I hope to make it on Saturday. I'm planning to. I've got to get the antenna out and the attenuator, and I need to know, and I think we all need to know ahead of time from the guys who are running the Fox on what frequency are we going to use. As I mentioned, I like to program the HD to that frequency, to one of the memories. Also, the third harmonic. As you get closer, you'll find out that you will hear that third harmonic of the Fox, and you could use the third harmonic. And I have a 70-centimeter antenna plugged into the radio, and it's a much sharper pattern than the 2-meter one. So you might want to bark out the frequencies for us, Brad, if you have them. Solar flux has been down near the 100 mark, 101. Had a magnetic storm the other day, yesterday. The K index went up to 5. It's back down to a reasonable number. I think 2 or 3 right now. I think it's 2. So the conditions are coming back. Anything else? Let's see. Good to see. Congratulations to Oscar. And it was Oscar's, I think, second contact. Nick K4IUM was his first. So good to hear Oscar on the air. I've talked to him a couple times already. I think that's it for now. If not, I'll check in again later. Thanks again for the information on the battery. N7IVV from K1HTV.
Okay, Rich. Thank you. Unless my memory is more faulty than usual, the frequency for the Fox this time will be somewhat different than usual. 147.415 megahertz. I say again, 147.415 megahertz. And that happens to multiply out to apparently a relatively nice third harmonic in the ham band. So that's my understanding at this point. Just a little marketing, if you will. Even if you're not planning on participating in the Fox Hunt, if you have even a moderate interest in it, just, you know, curiosity, come on out and just socialize. I mean, you know, this will be a good chance. If you don't make breakfast, for example, because I sure don't, they're too dang far away at that time of the morning for me, this might be a good chance for everybody to just kind of get together and hang out. Like I say, whether you're going to play Fox Hunt or not, come on out and let's be sociable. KX4KU, go ahead, Kevin, N7IVV.
N7IVV, KX4KU, and Matt, good evening, Brad. Thank you for doing the net tonight, and interesting topic. I don't know enough about batteries except for lead acid. I learned quite a long time ago is that you can get a 5-year lead acid and it'll probably still die after 3 years. They're pretty much built the same. You know, and if you ever try to call them on the warranty, they'll prorate it, and then they'll have to do a test on it. It takes 30 minutes. You know, it's a real rat race. It's not like, only use 2 years or 3 years. It's not like they're going to give you a new one. AGM sounds familiar. Take a break. So, I remember when I replaced the battery in my Xterra, I got one of those fancy looking batteries that looked like 6 cylinders, and it died after 3 years. So, MO is just buy the cheap battery and replace it every 3 years. Because you're going to pretty much have to anyway. And in your case, if you're only using it once a week, you might look at a deep cycle battery. And then just the one thing I would like to to do a little brag about is I heard the fan conditions yesterday, but I was able to work two North Dakota stations during their QSO party to get worked all states CW done. So that's been a goal of mine for a while. North Dakota has been a thorn in my side, and one guy confirmed. That's all I needed. So I'll turn it back over to you, Brad, N7IVD, KX4KU, back tonight.
Okay, Kevin, thank you. You know, you just triggered something in my mind, but one of the reasons that batteries tend to go bad before their time is literally if they're not used often enough, they will, and I think you heard the term while I was running on earlier, they sulfate, and I can't remember exactly what that means. It, basically, I guess some of the sulfuric acid precipitates out and clogs up the pores, if you will, the electron holes. Anyway, it reduces the life cycle of the battery rather dramatically. Well, you probably all know about my truck. For those of you that don't, I have an old military deuce and a half, has a 24-volt system, which means two 12-volt batteries in series. And I don't drive that thing enough to know it. I'm not the only thing on it that actually uses electricity. Well, sort of, is the starter. And so, of course, it's got to have batteries. Well, I've had problems with that because it sat so long that the batteries would just go dead after 2 years. And it was hardly ever used. So I got a product from PulseTech, which is a solar-powered charger slash conditioner, where what it does is after the batteries are charged, it kind of gives a pulse of some sort to the batteries that apparently desulfates it. And so it conditions the battery. It's a battery conditioner. Well, my experience has been, so, and it's got a solar panel on it, my experience is that it works great. You know, nowadays, I can go out anytime, winter, summer, having not started that silly thing for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, which is unfortunately too often the case, and it starts right up. You know, so it does its job. So now I'm thinking, gee, maybe I should get one for my car. If it's going to sit out there, and you can leave the thing hooked up to your battery all the time. You don't have to disconnect it when you use the vehicle. So I'm just right now looking at their products and looking at their battery maintainers, and now I need to find the solar version. I think that'd probably be a smart idea for me, for even for my 12 volt. So I don't get a commission on this. No warranty express or implied by me, but PulseTech makes a good product. So check them out. KL4IUM, Nick. How are you tonight? Oh, you're mobile. I should have gotten you first off. If you're still there, go ahead. This is N7IVV.
N7IVV, KO4IUM mobile. Yep, just finishing up getting close to the house here, so that's perfectly fine. On the battery topic, I don't have really input which one would be better with the radios hooked up. I've always gone with our current vehicles with the AGMs just because it was the recommended battery type, and then anytime I've been doing anything with radios, it's either been deep cycle emergency batteries or, of course, the lithium ion LiPo batteries. But very interesting to hear the differences between those and some of the pros and cons of each of those. In other things this week, Saturday, Bob came over and did some of the initial work on wiring up the 4-H ham radio trailer, so he's at least got junction boxes and everything in there. That system will be running off of lithium or LiPo batteries, 300 amp hours worth. Then a quick announcement for everyone, Tuesday evening, the 4-H Ham Radio Club will be doing their first POTA activation. So we'll be going over to Whitney State Forest in Warrenton, and we'll be on 20 and 40, and we'll probably also throw some calls out on 2 meters on national calling as well. So if you're in the area and hear the kids calling out, we've got kind of a short window to make our 10 contacts, but I think we'll be able to do it. So that's it for now. KO4 IUM Mobile back to net.
Okay, you said that was Saturday. When did you say the POTA was?
The POTA activation is Tuesday night. I expect we'll be getting into the park at 7.
Okay. All bands or specific bands?
The bands will be 20 and 40 for HF, and then we'll also probably run some 2-meter as well for the local area. And all of that will be QRP or near QRP with the radios. So that's the plan right now.
Okay, great. If you have a moment, if you could post that up on our groups.io, I'm going to make a note for myself here for Tuesday evening. That'd be great, so we have that to refer back to. Good deal. KO4, ZKY. By the way, the Zed Oscar, and anybody else who may not know, it's not a throwback, but it's very common in the Canadian and European theater, where that they don't say Z, they say Zed. And, of course, if you think about it, there's so many letters that sound the same as Z. C, B, T, V, Z, it's hard to figure out what you're really saying. So, anyway, they'll throw a Z in there, which helps at least for the letter Z. Anyway, KO4 is ZKY. Be sure you tell us how old you are just so everybody can be impressed. This is N7IVV. Go ahead.
N7IVV, this is KO4ZKY. I am 10 years old, and I just want to say hi to everyone on the net. And, I've just been having fun with Ham Radio lately, so it's been fun. KO4ZKY, back to that.
Okay, sir. Well, congratulations again on your license, and I guess we'll look forward to trying to work you on Tuesday night. All right, KD4SV, Dave, how are you doing tonight? Go ahead.
KD4SV, on the net here. I'm now located up my residence on Willington Drive, Waterloo North, and I'm up here at White Springs Assisted Care, looking out of my window on the third floor penthouse using a handheld, which I can hit the repeater pretty well. Anyway, as far as the batteries, lead acid, I've tried both that AGM batteries, both in cars, airplanes. I always came back to lead acid batteries. They're cheap and they're dependable and easy to charge, you know. I always kept a battery on charge for emergency purposes. So anyway, that's all I got to say on that topic, and turn you back. Oh, by the way, I'm probably the oldest one on the net here. I'll turn 89 in June. So back to net control, KD4SV.
Okay, Dave, KD4SV and 7IVV. Well, you know what? Just for kicks, we should get you and Oscar together and take a picture for posterity's sake. I think that, as long as it's not too embarrassing, I think that would be an interesting idea for historical value. Anyway, let's see. KO4YCO, Tyler, I don't think you said you were in and out, so go over to you. Go ahead.
And 7IVV is KO4YCO. Good evening, Brad. Thanks for taking control of the net tonight. And in regards to the batteries, I haven't really had a lot of experience in working with external batteries, especially in regards to any radio. Still currently working off of my Anytone HT, but hopefully here soon. Looking forward to getting an HF transceiver in the house, and then potentially a mobile unit. And then I think I will definitely do a little bit more of a deep dive into the batteries to really kind of weigh the options. That's the only thing experience that I have with batteries currently is like the LiPo-type batteries. I kind of put together my own battery packs for electronics works that I do and for various electronics projects that I have going on. So I kind of put those together, even do some solar charging on those as well. But that's about all I have. Just wanted to say congratulations to KO4Z, GKY, Oscar, congratulations on getting your ticket. That's very impressive, young man. And that's about it for me. KO4YCO, back to net.
Okay, thanks, Tyler. I appreciate you checking in tonight. Let's see. KM4OZH, if you don't have some good advice and knowledge about batteries in your mobile vehicle, I'll be surprised. Go ahead.
N7IVV, this is KM4OZH. Good evening, Brad, and everybody on the net. And to start off with, hope to see everybody at the meeting on Thursday. Batteries. Okay, let me. The limited that I know about, I got a couple things to say. The limited I know about AGM batteries is my neighbor had one in his van, and it was less than 3 years old when it failed. But there was no pro rating on it. It was 100% replacement. Of course, it cost twice the price. But I don't know as longevity. That didn't seem like that was a particularly good deal, but. Maybe between the two batteries, maybe it'll end up being cost effective. And then Kevin, KX4, you said something about might think about a deep cycle battery for your car because it's not the charging schedule for deep cycle batteries is different than your standard lead acid battery. You're supposed to discharge that to a certain point and then charge it back up again. So the typical alternator keeping it topped off is for long life on a deep cycle battery is not exactly correct according to the manufacturers. But anyway, in my mobile, I got another lead acid battery, auxiliary battery, but I run the engine the whole when I'm contesting. I run the engine the whole time. I mean, it'll be. If it's a VHF contest, what is it, 33 hours or something or other, and I'll probably turn it off once to put fuel in the car. My radio console has voltmeters that I monitor both batteries and the voltage of charge on them, so I keep track of all that. I was warned about having the auxiliary battery in the passenger compartment. It's not in the trunk. It's behind the driver's seat in a typical battery box. But about venting it, and you might be able to, but I've never ever smelled acid from it, and I've debated about putting a vent out the window on that just for road draft to keep the fumes out. But anyway, but I haven't done that yet. But that's about all I got for this evening. I turn it back over to the net. This is KM4OZH.
Okay, Gil. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, when you run your engine, you get all kinds of electronic noise. Hi. For those of you that don't know, he has a diesel, an old diesel car, an old, what the heck are they, Mercedes. Venting, what it's doing is it's not venting any kind of acid. It's venting hydrogen and oxygen. So I suppose that the two together can become a really interesting situation, but only in large, high quantities, high concentrations. And, you know, those boxes, those battery boxes, are not sealed anyway. I mean, unless you have something that's unusual that is, there's plenty of holes in there, so air movement would be just fine for the little bit of gas that you may be venting. And then, of course, your car itself. It's up to you. I mean, you know, some people like to err on the side of caution to the point that it's almost silly, whereas some of the rest of us, well, my last name isn't risk for nothing. So I guess I should always put a caveat there and, you know, please don't take my advice. Don't try this at home, et cetera, et cetera. But point is, you probably have plenty of venting there for your vehicle, the way that you're doing that in your car. KN4, SBL, Bob, over to you at 7IVV.
Good evening, Brad, and all on the net. This is KN4 SBL. Let's see how I want to start this. To go back to Nick, KO4 IUM, as you said, I was starting to install the electrical system for the 4-H trailer, the solar and generator power, so I was really happy to get a jump on it. It's been a couple weeks quite a few weeks of planning, but it's nice to start to execute the installation of the electrical system. So I'm really having fun and very happy to be able to volunteer my time to help the 4-H Club. So I'm pretty happy with that. I don't have a lot to add on the battery topic, at least for the batteries you're talking about, but I do want to say that I have been seeing a lot of info about a new battery system, which is an aluminum air battery, which this new technology, I found it actually very fascinating. I don't know if it's new technology, but I find it fascinating because the aluminum air batteries, they don't store power. They generate power between the reaction between oxygen and in the air with the aluminum in these batteries. So I know they're really working on trying to get these for electric vehicles. So anyway, if you haven't heard of them, I think you'll be hearing a lot more about them. So aluminum air batteries. Anyway, that's all I got. KN4STL, back to Matt.
Oh no, aluminum air batteries, they generate electricity from the air, so we're going to burn the oxygen and we're creating CO2 in the atmosphere, we're all going to die. Sorry, couldn't resist. Sounds like really cool technology. I know that they've been working on some really interesting stuff here. And they actually have come out with it, but, you know, there's the delay between actually creating and then mass marketing and mass producing. So that's pretty interesting. I'll have to put that on my list of things to check out. By the way, Amazon has really good prices on the PulseTech products, a lot better than their direct sales. So anyway, check them out. WDAQCN, Steve, how are you tonight? Go ahead.
Brad, N7IVV, WDAQCN. Thanks for taking the net again tonight there, Brad. And interesting discussion on batteries. I've been with you my last couple battery replacements there. I end up buying them from AAA because they'll come by and just drop them in the car. And that's it. Done with it. Don't have to fuss with it at all. But, yeah, having had the choice, I might have gone with an AGM, but yeah, for most of my car applications, probably not. The aluminum air battery is a very interesting technology. That has come up a couple times in recent years. You know, small-scale stuff, stick a piece of aluminum foil in, snap the thing closed, and, you know, basically it burns the foil. I've also seen some other interesting technologies out there that are more along the lines of a fuel cell. Take a little bit of isopropyl alcohol, squirt it in there, you know, and the thing's small enough to fit in your laptop. And the thing is, it does matter, and, you know, trying to use that on an airplane, I could see that, you know, potentially being kind of a mess. So, but there are lots of other interesting technologies out there. There's some other glass-type dielectric batteries that are being experimented with that look like they're going to have very, very, very high storage potential, very high energy density, that is, surpassing lithium-ion by quite a bit. And, by the way, watch those lithium batteries. They like to blow up. I had my laptop for work battery suddenly expand in the office. And I noticed that it was a little bit puffy. The cover didn't quite want to close on the keyboard. You know, I was wondering what the heck was going on with it. And then plug it in the next day in the office, and the whole thing swelled up to the point that the bottom was about to pop out of the laptop in spite of having, you know, 7 or 8 screws in it. So you got to watch those things. When they explode, that can be a real disaster, as lots of people with those, hoverboard-type things have found out. So, do watch those. That's about it. Just been chasing a little DX this week here. I've worked a couple interesting stations on FT8, and not much else happening there. Did note the high K index this morning. I was wishing I'd gotten up a little earlier and maybe peeked out the window to see the aurora. But that's about it for this week, Brad. Back to you. N7IVV in the net, WD8QCN.
Okay, Steve, thank you. I hadn't heard that the aurora was down this low. Yeah, that's disappointing because I'm always up at silly hours during the night. But anyway. Yeah, lithium ion, that's sort of an interesting It's an interesting thing. I like to say there's no free lunch. Always something bad that goes along with the good, usually. Okay, well, that's the end of our list. We have any more check-ins tonight. This is N79VB. This is the Fakir Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. Any more check-ins tonight or rechecks, go ahead and call me now, please.
WDAQCN recheck, Brad.
Okay, Steve, WDAQCN N79VB, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw a word in there for Oscar KO4ZKY. And congratulate him on earning his license at a young age there. He beat me by at least 2 years, and sounds like he's got at least the tech there since he's on 2 meters, so double congratulations on that, and we look forward to hearing him on the handbands. That's all I got, Brad. Back to you, N7IVV, WD8QCN.
Okay, sir. Well, I guess that's we'll call it a night then. This has been Fakir Amateur Radio Association General Service, Technical Service Net. I usually do the Wednesday night net, sorry. And if you have any questions or would like more information, please jump on our website at w4va.org. You can also send an email directly to farahnet@w4va.org. That's Farah, Foxtrot, Alpha, Romeo, Alpha, November, Echo, Tango, farahnet@w4va.org. Stand by. All right, this is N7IVV. We'll do this again. Well, we'll do the general service net on Wednesday. We'll do the technical service net again on Sunday. And we'll see you all Thursday night at the meeting. Have a good evening and a pleasant tomorrow. Returning the net to normal use.
Kilo, Oscar, 4, Whiskey, Yankee, X-ray, disconnected. Kilo, Oscar, 4, Whiskey, Yankee, X-ray, connected to W4VA. Kilo, Oscar, 4, Whiskey, Yankee, X-ray, disconnected.